You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web, and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Dean Johnson.
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, and streaming live on Ustream, this is AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest Real Housewives news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, picking up where the show leaves off, and the buzz continues, it's AfterBuzz TV for the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills.
Hello, everyone. Mari Spiegel here, and I'm joined by my fabulous co-host, Jackie Moran. And we are here to talk about quite possibly the most dramatic episode in all of Real Housewives history. Jackie, would you say that was accurate?
I would say that was accurate, and I would say what's even more amazing is how I think we can honestly say that every week at the beginning of every after show, which is even crazier. But I definitely have to agree with you on that one, Mari.
Well, I kind of think last week was kind of a filler episode. I thought Vegas was kind of a letdown. But this week was even crazier than the preview led me to believe. I mean, this week, I talked to people about it today, was they described it as a circus. Like, people were acting crazy, and the whole Taylor and Russell threatening to sue fiasco, we're going to get into all that, but I don't know. It made me think about whether I actually want to see Taylor on season 3, because right now, I'm kind of fed up with her BS. I'm kind of fed up with her shit. I'm kind of annoyed with her, and I kind of think that she stirs the pot too much. And there's enough drama in the show without her, and I don't know. Right now, I feel like Taylor is toxic to the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Are you? Though I can always change my opinion. You know, Taylor obviously brings a lot of drama and a lot of entertainment. Would you be happy to see her on a season 3?
Honestly, I'm so glad you said that, Mari, because I feel like I'm so hard on Taylor every single week, and I don't want to sound like a broken record, but I had lunch with a very, very famous housewife in her own right in New York today, and not part of the franchise, but definitely could be, that's for sure. But she even said herself, like, Taylor should have stepped back. I don't understand why, if Taylor was in this situation, why she puts herself in the forefront that much more. How she let this drama be aired, be filmed, if there was serious stuff going on at home, and then capitalize off of it now, continue to be in the limelight, it's just so wrong, and I totally agree. I think what we love about the Housewives drama is not what the Taylor drama is. It is not what we love about drama on the Housewives. It's in a whole nother playing field, and I don't like it, and I don't want to see it, and I think it brings down the show.
The problem is, with every fight on this show, there's never one side that is completely in the right. Like, everyone always does something that's questionable or wrong. And we'll get into, you know, the other parts of the show with Kim and Brandy and Kim and Ken. But let's talk about this whole Taylor and Russell and Camille thing. Because the problem is, while I think that Russell was completely in the wrong to threaten to sue Camille, I don't think the way that all of those wives handled the situation was appropriate. I thought that walking out of the party to tell them that they were not allowed to come in. First of all, do you think that Kyle actually couldn't get a hold of Taylor before the party, or that this was produced so that there would be such a confrontation like that?
Honestly, the first thing I wrote in caps And when I get excited while I'm watching the show, I type in caps. And I wrote produced in all capitals because, come on, Taylor was in peacock earrings and full makeup and a full gown. There were 2 hours somewhere in that day where she had a cell phone on and she was getting her hair and makeup done and she was getting dressed and she was getting ready. Whether she got dressed and got ready before she got on a plane from Vegas or after, her phone was on. There's no way you get your hair and makeup done for a party, for filming, and not have your phone on you. It's just not possible. So there's no way that Taylor did not see a text or a phone call in this time period. It's impossible. Unless her phone got thrown out the window, it's just not possible.
I agreed with you during the first half of the show. During the first half when Kyle was like, oh, I can't get a hold of her, I kept trying, I thought, I'm not buying it. The producers are staging this so that this is a big confrontation. But then Kyle was so insanely upset about this situation and crying so much and so distraught about what she had to do that I know she's an actress, but for some reason I thought that maybe it really was real. The emotions on last night's episode seemed too raw and too sincere to be produced.
See, now this is where I kind of wish Jesse was on the line because I feel like Jesse would side with me on this. I think Kyle was quite a little bit of an actress herself last night. I don't know what was produced and what wasn't. I do think she was genuinely upset, but I think the most amazing thing of it all was that at the beginning of the episode, she goes, we're not 16, we're worse. Everyone's going to have to be a big girl and deal with it tonight. And then look at her. She was the worst out of everybody. She couldn't even, she was revving herself up. She ruined her own party by spending the whole lead-up time to Taylor arriving, thinking about it on the side. Then she ruined it by having it all pent up and actually happen. So, you know what? She might as well have let Taylor in the party at this point because you ruin your party anyway. And I think it's just amazing that she went from saying that in hair and makeup to being the most dramatic, the biggest crybaby of everyone of the evening. And she silently slipped in there as a little drama queen herself. And even the way she was running up the stairs, and like, please don't go. I mean, honestly, it was too much for me from Kyle. I'm not saying there wasn't some depth to what she was feeling, but she was overly dramatic for me. And I just think that, you know, if she really wanted to keep Taylor out, I feel like she just could have addressed this in so many different ways. I feel like Paul and Adrian, of everybody, were kind of the most real down-to-business about it. But everybody getting involved, making a whole big scene, I just thought it was ridiculous, and it ruined the party regardless. Now, if producers told them to do so, that's one thing. But as far as just being logical adults about it, I can't imagine that that was the best choice.
Okay, you know I like Kyle, so I'm going to defend Kyle here. Yes, she was a crybaby. Do I think she ruined her own party? No. Do I think that Taylor ruined her party? Do I think that Adrian and Lisa making a big commotion about this ruined her party? Do I think that Kim and her fight with Brandy ruined the party? I think that all of those things ruined the party. I don't think Kyle herself ruined the party. What I will agree with you on is I think it was a huge circus and made it a million times worse to have every single housewife and their husband confront Taylor and Russell. That should have been a duty that solely Kyle and Mauricio did. Kyle and Mauricio should have stepped out of the party by themselves, talked to Taylor and Russell, and said, hey, Camille's inside. She's upset about this lawsuit. You know we'd love to have you here, but right now it's not the best time. It would just create more drama. We're so sorry to have asked you to come back from Vegas to come to this party. We couldn't get a hold of you. You're going to have to turn around. And leave it at that. By bringing Adrian and Paul and Lisa and Ken and everyone into the situation, it made it worse. And I understand Kyle was like such a quiet baby, she couldn't get a word out, but Mauricio probably could have. And they didn't need Adrian and Paul there. Well, Adrian and Paul definitely handled the situation best. I didn't think it was right for them. I mean, it's like Kyle's so upset, like, this is going to be so embarrassing and, you know, so humiliating. She made it more humiliating by bringing, like, the band of six outside to greet them. That should have just been the job of the hostess and the host of the party.
I do agree. I think the only thing I wonder, though, is was this their way of hoping they were going to kind of all address Russell on, like, because I love the way, I have to say, even though Adrian and Paul and Lisa and Ken should not have been involved, I do agree with you on that. I got to say, I love them being involved because Adrian went right to his face. You could tell she's a great businesswoman from watching her in that scene because she just looked him right in the eye and said it straight. You know, tell us what you wrote. Tell us what you said. You know, all of those lines, direct lines from Adrian. Loved her. I was actually surprised. I thought Kyle would have been stronger. But what I was wondering is if this was their way of kind of playing gang up time on Russell and hoping to maybe get something out of him about the whole situation. That's kind of still not the right way to go about it, but I'm just in my head wondering if that was what their goal was there, was to kind of all gang up on him and see, you know, what he confessed to, what he'd come out with. I think they're also curious to know what's going on behind the scenes with her at this point. Maybe this was their way of kind of confronting him.
But I don't think that the confront him, but not at a party as you're also asking him to leave the party. If they really wanted to confront him, call him up and say, hey, we'd like you to come over. We want to talk to you about some issues. You know what I mean? Like, the Real Housewives are so classic in always doing the right thing at the wrong time and doing these things at these parties. Like, no wonder why Pandora Vanderpump doesn't want any of the housewives at her party, because they're going to ruin it at her wedding. They would ruin it because they bring all their drama and their shit to these parties. What I thought was so produced, and I really don't like, is the fact that Lisa was, like, standing up for Taylor so much, like, oh, she's going to be humiliated. And the thing is, I love Lisa and Kyle's friendship, but, like, this season, like, they get really competitive and jealous with each other, and you saw that with Taylor. Like, they both were like, oh, I'm closer to her. No, I'm closer to her. Like, it was kind of weird. But what did you think of Lisa being the one to be like, oh, she's going to be humiliated. You've got to handle it this way. Why, like, Lisa and her take one trip to Vegas, and all of a sudden they're BFFs? Like, I hate that produced friendship.
I totally agree, and I feel like I actually will give Kyle the benefit of the doubt here, because I don't know if Kyle was necessarily jealous or just kind of calling her out, like, no, I've actually known her much longer because this friendship of yours with her is actually fake. That's kind of what I got from Kyle's, you know, response, like, well, I've known her longer, or, you know, whatever she said there. That's kind of actually the way I took Kyle's response, which I like it if that's the way she was going with it. If she was being jealous and kind of competitive with her about it, you know what I'd like to say to both of them? Ladies, you don't need Taylor, so I wouldn't compete for Taylor. Of anybody I know, Taylor would not be the person I'm competing about. That's what I would tell them, if hopefully they're listening. But, I'm not a fan of this fake Lisa-Taylor friendship, that's for sure.
And what bothered me the most about Taylor is she is insanely passive-aggressive. She's so passive-aggressive, and that fake smile, I want to rip it off her face. When, I mean, obviously she was put in this humiliating position, but you know what, before I get to her passive-aggressive rant, do you think Taylor actually knew that Russell threatened to sue in the email, or do you believe her when she says, oh, Russell told me that he just sent Camille an email, but he didn't tell me about the lawsuit threatening?
You know, I don't know what to believe with her, to be honest, anymore, but she seemed so dead set on saying one line, I didn't know about the email. I didn't know about the email. I didn't know what he wrote. I didn't see it. I didn't see the email. It honestly could have drilled me over the head with the fact that she didn't see the email. Now, on first glance, I would think she didn't see the email or she didn't know exactly what he wrote. But you never know with her. I really don't know. She could have been standing over his shoulder. I don't know what to believe with her. And that's why I don't like her as a character, because There's nothing to her. She's like a prism of nothing because I don't think she stands up for herself for anything. I don't think she believes in anything. I don't think she even cares if she was getting abused. I don't think she even cares. I think she just cares about being in the spotlight. She's thrilled to throw it all out there, throw Russell under the bus. There's just so much wrong with Taylor. I just, you know, besides her big peacock earrings. Sorry, but I'm very hard on Taylor because I just really think until she kind of shows some recognition or realization for the real world, I just can't be a Taylor fan. And another thing that it was so awkward, and I think you felt this too, Mari, as we were tweeting, was the whole scene on the ride over with Russell. Another awkward, weird scene. I felt like I was in the Twilight Zone watching those two. It's awful. Yeah. I hate watching scenes with them.
I know. Watching scenes with them, it's just creepy. It's awkward. They're so, like, pained to even, like, come off as normal. But I will defend Taylor on this one instance. I actually think that she did not know that Russell threatened to sue because she isn't standing over her shoulder as he writes the email. He very well could have said, you know, I wrote Camille an email saying I was upset that she said these, you know, abuse allegations on camera and left it at that. Like, I actually honestly believe she didn't know that he threatened to sue. But let's talk about the fact that he did threaten to sue. I wrote a post today on The Legal Lady about how, had Russell not committed suicide, had Russell actually gone through with this defamation lawsuit, it would have actually, ironically, only done what he doesn't want, which is bring more press and more publicity and more spotlight to the personal details of his private life, because both sides would have to investigate whether the claims were in fact true, and there's no way he would win a defamation suit because he'd have to claim that he'd have to prove that Camille knew that the statements she made were false when she made them, and there's no way she knew that because, like she said, she was only repeating what Taylor said, and even if she repeated an exaggerated version of what Taylor said, that still doesn't mean she knowingly made false statements. Plus, there's photos to back it up of Taylor bruised and swollen with a black eye. And also, you can make the case that they're public figures, and in a defamation case, anywhere across the country, if you are a public figure, then the personal details of your private life are available for the public, and that's something that can be argued in this case. And so there's no way he would have won the suit. But the fact is, Camille said these abuse allegations on camera. And now I'm going to be, I know, the lone voice saying this. I still don't think, I'll make this clear. I don't think that Russell should have threatened to sue. No. I think that is an insecure man, and he throws around these veiled threats to mask his insecurities. Still, I am sticking by it. I've stuck by it every week since the Tea Party episode. I don't think Camille should have brought up the abuse allegations on camera. And you can go to my site and vote. I'll share the results at the end, again, of whether Camille did the right thing. And I know that I'm a lone voice here right now, but go to thelegallady.com, take the poll, did Camille do the right thing? Because right now, about 83% of people say she did the right thing, and only 17% say she should have talked to her off camera. So those 17% were holding strong. I sincerely, honestly believe that it was more appropriate for Camille to bring up these abuse allegations off camera and not on camera for millions of viewers to see when you're dealing with an already insecure man.
Honestly, Mari, I'm going to have to side with that 83%. And I'm actually voting right now on thelegallady.com. So definitely, you guys, we want your votes before we announce the final results at the end of the show. But certainly, I'm with that 83% because I still don't have an issue with it because of the fact that Taylor makes no standards for herself. So it'd be different if it was somebody who seemed to care about keeping her personal life private. So I'm still going to have to stick to that.
Camille only repeated what Taylor had already told all the wives. There's a reason why Taylor told all the wives these abuse allegations off camera and not on camera. when you take something that someone tells you off camera and you say it on camera, that is a whole other ballgame, because then millions of viewers are finding out about it. And Russell is an insanely insecure man, and he shouldn't have ever even been on the reality show in the first place, because he had a lot of skeletons in his closet. But I think that I can understand and commiserate with Camille for the fact that she's this friend having to listen every week that her, you know, to her friend who said her husband beat her, and she doesn't know what to do, and she's hearing these conflicting reports, and she doesn't know what to think. I understand that that's difficult, and I understand that you want to bring that up. You need to be truthful to yourself. You tell me these things. What's true? Why can you not have that conversation off camera? Why did you have to make that an issue on the show?
Again, I'm going to have to stand strong to just my inner instincts tell me that she said something on camera that was not shown in this vein. That's just my instinct. I'm sticking to it. I don't know how I can prove that or not. But I do believe that in a camera situation, in a filmed situation, I do believe Taylor brought up skeletons in their closet at some point in the past. Now, I'm not so familiar with season one, but, you know, somewhere along the way, that is just my guess. If not, I don't know how I'd approach the situation, but because I believe that, that's how I kind of draw my opinion right now. And, you know, either way, I just think it's so interesting how you point out such a good point that Russell is somebody who's so insanely insecure that he thinks he's probably at this point freaking out that this came out through Camille that way. And yet he's making his own problem worse by taking this route. And I definitely think he's somebody who was just such a scary, manipulative person behind the scenes, yet he's all corked up and perfectly presented when he's on camera. You know, such a dark, dark other side there that, again, I don't really like being reminded of it on this show, but boy, can you see right through it when he's on camera.
Yeah, no, it was, I think the most awkward moment in the show was when she said something to him like, "You've been a good little boy," or he said, "I've been a good little boy," and I was like, this is supremely awkward, I can't watch this. But talking about trying to defend my position against Camille, I forgot about talking about Taylor's extreme passive-aggressive behavior. That, I think, was what bothered me the most. Out of everyone's behavior last night, for some reason, that irked me the most, when she was like, when they told her that she had to leave the party, and then she had this fake smile on her face, and she was like, "Okay, we'll just fly right back to Vegas, where we flew from, for the party. Love you. See you guys later." It's like, oh my God, it was so annoying, because it was so fake. It was like, you could tell she was very upset and hurt and embarrassed and humiliated. I get it, but don't put some fake smile on your face and be like, "We'll just fly right back to Vegas where we came from. Love you. Bye." Like, that just really, for some reason, bothered me so much.
Yeah, you can add that to my list of things that bother me about Taylor. It's about a mile long right now, but I agree with you on that one as well. Very immature, high school fake faux behavior in every way possible. You know, I thought this whole season was supposed to be about her finding her voice. I feel like they should change that promo, because where is her voice in any of this? I think she is hiding behind everything at this point. So definitely wondering where that voice is. And that certainly passive-aggressive, accomplishing nothing fakeness adds to that profile that I have of Taylor in my head.
Yeah. Well, now we've spent half our after show discussing the two people who we don't even want to see on camera. We hate so much. So let's move on. But before we do, I wanted to see if you had anything else to add. And we will spin back around to the whole Russell Taylor drama at the end of the show. Keep voting. Did Camille do the right thing? I'll share those results at the end. Jackie, anything else you want to share about your two favorite characters?
You know, I want to know what our listeners think. Am I delusional? And are we the only ones who find this so disturbing? I mean, I'm so surprised that there's not more about it in the vein of how is this being aired. So I want people to tweet us or call in. Jackie Moran, The Legal Lady, and Mari Fagel, AfterBuzz TV. Those are all our Twitter handles. Or call us, 424-256-1729. I really want to hear some listeners and see if they agree with us, because I just am so surprised there's not more backlash about it. With each episode getting more and more disgraceful. But definitely I want to move on to the other characters, that's for sure.
Okay, so let's talk about Kim, because for once, Kim was actually in an episode, because for once, Kim actually chose to attend a party. Now I'm starting to understand why she doesn't attend these parties, because Kim was 100% under the influence of something. I don't know what. I don't know if it was alcohol. I don't know if it was prescription pills. But at that white party, Kim was definitely on something, because her rant against Brandy was in another world. And I actually applaud Brandy here for staying so calm and dealing with a lunatic so calmly. I actually think Brandy should have walked away. Kim ended up being the one to walk away. I think Brandy should have walked away only minutes into that conversation, because you could tell that she was dealing with someone who was in a whole other world. But Brandy remained calm. I mean, I love Kim, but she was crazy here. I don't like you. I'll never like you. I don't even accept your apology. I don't. I won't. And then, like her finger and everything, and shame on you, such a pretty girl with such a truck driver mouth, and, you know, the whole thing, the worst part about this, I thought, was at the end to say, my daughter has something to say to you now. No matter what fight you have, do not bring your children into this. I thought that was more than inappropriate, and a terrible action as a mother, and a terrible model to show your daughter what she should be like. I mean, I love Kim. She's hilarious and normally lighthearted, and she was a maniac here, like threatening to break her other leg and to take her out back. The whole thing was insane, and you can tell Brandy learned her lesson, because she was so calm in her confessional. She said, I suspect substance abuse there, and that's all she would say. I thought that was hilarious, because she got in such shit for saying crystal meth, and now she's just gonna say, I suspect substance abuse.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Brandy, talk about disgraceful characters. Sorry, I forgot Kim at the whole first half of this episode, so let's get to that. Even more disgraceful than Taylor. But see, I actually don't mind watching or talking about Kim for some reason. Because whatever trip she's on, she's believed it, which is why I don't mind it. I don't mind it, meaning I'll watch it, but of course, totally disgraceful behavior. I think the funniest thing about it was the fact that she was calling her out for having a truck driver mouth as she was getting bleeped left and right, and having her finger in her face and telling her she's not the classy one. She's bringing her down to a level. Kim, hello, what planet are you on? Because if you were watching yourself right now, you know, this is where I feel bad for Kyle, because Kyle has to watch her throughout this and say, oh, my God, my sister is a train wreck. I mean, terrible, terrible. Bringing her daughter into it, icing on the cake. I have to at least give Bravo credit, because at least they didn't hear the daughter saying anything, because I was like, if they show the daughter talking to her right now, I'm just going to shut the TV off. But so whether that got filmed or not, the daughter actually saying something, thank the Lord above they didn't show it, because I was like, this is a way step too far. But can I tell you why I love Brandy through this? Is because she is like, yeah, you know what? Yes, I do have a truck driver mouth, but I own it. I know exactly who I am, and I'm proud of who I am, kind of stance. And that's actually what makes me love Brandy. She, you know, went on to the bleep, 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 bleep. But she knows what she's doing. She owns what she's about, even if it's not, you know, perfectly cookie cutter. And this whole scene made me love Brandy a whole lot more.
Yeah. No, I thought Brandy was dealing with a crazy person, and I thought she handled herself really, really well, despite the fact that I think now for the third week in a row she's worn white without a bra. I think that Brandy handles herself very well. Kim, not only do I have to, like, say negative things about her here, but also in a situation with Ken, because she's so upset that her daughters aren't accepting about this new relationship. But no wonder why. She didn't even tell her daughters that he gave her a promise ring. They had to look at her finger and be like, is that an engagement ring? Like, I don't think she's forthcoming enough with her children about this relationship. Obviously, she's not forthcoming enough with Kyle. And it's like, they already may have a reason to be, you know, curious about Ken or to suspect something. But when you're hiding him from people or hiding things about your relationship from your close family, no wonder why they're going to question him and why are you hiding this thing? Like, that's nothing to hide. So I'm glad she finally brought him to the party. And he seemed pretty calm, not getting involved when she was having this crazy fight. But I don't know, she kind of dug her own grave with this one.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like, I don't know, I really don't know what to, this whole thing is kind of, you know, well, we know Kim obviously went into, you know, whatever we have, her daughters. I have to say with the daughter thing, you know, I've been in a situation where my parents were divorced, and when a new member comes into the family, it's very, can be very hard on children. So I can't blame the daughters necessarily for any spaces they might be going through. But, you know, let's just say if Kim wanted to make a good impression with Ken, you know, she made Ken look great, actually.
Yeah, well, I still wonder about Ken, though. But I don't know. I want to know more about him, and we'll get into some predictions. I hope he comes to Hawaii because I'm still trying to figure him out. But before we go to a quick commercial break, news and gossip, let's talk about the return of our favorite Real Housewife. I know I refer to Paul as the seventh housewife, so I'll refer to him as the eighth housewife, my favorite Kevin Lee. He's been in it like every week now, which only leads me to believe that Lisa's going to get some sort of spinoff show or maybe even Pandora, because there's so much about this wedding. It's not just like, you know, one or two episodes about wedding prep. It's pretty much throughout the season. I will say I thought those bands were awesome. I normally don't love, like, live bands at a wedding. I just like to dance, and so sometimes I just like a DJ with pop music. But I thought those, like, Latin singers were incredible.
You know, the only thing I'll say, though, first of all, love Kevin Lee. You know, it needs to be over the top. This is Beverly Hills, over the top. You know, love him. But the only thing I'm going to say about the band is I was wondering, do you think that style of music fits with the personality of the wedding and stuff? Because the only thing I thought was like, salsa dancing. I don't know. That's the only thing I would call out, but the talent of the band and the fun that they would bring is definitely was very clear. And whether that was a quick plug for them or whatnot, they definitely seemed very, very great, very talented.
And I'm not sure if you saw, but on Watch What Happens Live last night, it was hilarious. They did this, like, boss image of if Kevin Lee and Jiggy had a baby, and it was hilarious. It was basically this Pomeranian, but with, like, Kevin's facial hair and, or his hair and his sunglasses. It was hilarious.
Oh, my God. I just love him. Him dancing with Lisa, he's just, I love him.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can get him back on if the wedding does indeed air this season. So let's go to a quick commercial break, and we'll come back for some news and gossip.
After Buzz TV.
Hi, I was once like you.
a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And, like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzz TV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzz TV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
All right, let's get into some news and gossip.
AfterBuzz TV News.
Okay, well, Jackie, you and I know what we want. We don't want Taylor on season 3, but she talked about being on season 3 on Access Hollywood this week. She said that the show hasn't been picked up for a third season yet, but she's going to, quote, see how the year plays out before making any major decision about whether to stay or whether to go. I don't think this is going to be an issue of whether Taylor wants to be on the show. I think it's going to be an issue of whether Bravo wants her to be on the show. Because Taylor's already come out with a book. She's done the media circus. I have no doubt that she wants to be on the third season. I'm just wondering if Bravo and the other cast in particular want her on the third season.
Well, that's the thing. I'm waiting for Bravo to make a judgment call on her. That's why I'm curious to see what our listeners think about her, because I just feel like it would be the craziest thing to bring her back, yet why do I have a feeling they would? I just, you know, I guess they would think maybe the drama's over, you know, the tragedy has happened, now it's like the rebuilding. They probably, at Bravo, think it's a great thing. I don't know. I just don't like it. I think Taylor, as you said earlier, is toxic to this show.
Yeah, the thing is, I normally think that Bravo would never stay away from a character that creates drama, but they did boot Jill Zarin, Kelly Ben-Simone, and Alex McCord from Roni, and those were three of the most dramatic characters. And so maybe they'll listen to viewers more on this one than doing it for the entertainment factor or the drama factor.
I certainly hope so. You know, I really think there's so much interesting content without it, and I really think it would be a better show. Everybody's already in their own direction so much. You don't need Taylor spinning out of control like a spinning top. I just think they could really just have a much better show without her.
Yeah. And now Kim's friends and her family members are talking about her stay in rehab. Kyle said that Kim is doing very well, fantastic. And Kim's ex-husband, who actually is the father of her son, Brooke, his name's Monty Brinson, he said Kim wasn't happy with her life. She wanted to seek help so she could get better for herself, her children, and her family. And so I think she's doing the right thing here, and it sounds like her family is more than supportive of the move.
So they say she's doing great, but how is she doing great if she's, you know, I thought she was in rehab or wherever. How is she doing so great, I wonder?
They're saying she's doing great in rehab.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah, I mean, if she's doing great, all power to her. She definitely needed it. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll see. We definitely don't know enough about Ken yet, that's for sure. So that we have to uncover.
Yeah, I've never been more convinced that she needed rehab than in this latest episode, because she was, like, insanely off her rocker here. And then finally, Lisa Vanderpump brings up the whole storyline about jealousy between her and Adrian. You know, I really don't like that storyline. I think that that's all produced for drama because Lisa and Adrian are like the most confident women on the show, and they don't seem, it seems like something like jealousy would not be something normal for the two of them. But Lisa said in an interview, "This is all a bunch of nonsense. I couldn't be jealous of anyone, and I'm certainly not catty. I'm a very busy woman with absolutely no time for this nonsense. I don't hate any of my castmates. I like them all. I wish each and every one of them success in every venture of their personal and professional lives. With that said, happy holidays to them all."
Yeah, I mean, I believe that. I think, you know, I definitely wouldn't. I think that's how she feels. I would believe that.
Yeah, but this comes right after Adrian wrote on her blog, her Bravo blog, "You'd think women would encourage each other instead of getting catty. I was taken aback by what I consider to be her classless comments on my new business and how she approached the bachelorette party. I truly felt she was envious at what we've accomplished, and maybe what they say is true, jealousy is the root of all evil." I hope that Adrian was making such brash comments on her blog just for the entertainment factor, because she normally seems so level-headed. This doesn't seem in her nature.
Yeah, I really love Adrian. I think she's such a smart businesswoman. That whole storyline came out of left field for me.
And finally, the poll results as they stand right now, 83.87% say yes. Camille did the right thing. She was simply repeating what Taylor had told her. 16.13% say no. Camille did the wrong thing. She should have spoken to Taylor off camera about abuse allegations. It's interesting how these polls change from week to week as we learn more information. So I'll keep you updated throughout the rest of the season, but make sure to go to thelegallady.com to check that out. And let's get into some predictions for next week.
And now, your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
All right. So the Russell Taylor drama continues. It looks like Russell actually gets mad at Taylor here now, because he's saying that what she said was an outright lie. And I forget who said this, but they said there's three sides: her side, my side, and the truth. So it looks like we'll get more of that. And then it looks like the white party continues with Kim's drunken or pill-popping antics even more, like you saw her partying on the dance floor. Hopefully we'll see Ken and get to learn a little bit more about him. But what I'm so excited for is Hawaii. I find it insane that Mauricio would actually want to spend his birthday trip celebrating it with the entire cast. I don't know how Bravo roped him into that one, because that's not exactly a relaxing celebratory vacation. But I'm so excited, and it looks like Taylor did not go to Hawaii, and then something happens because Taylor calls Kyle, and Kyle says, "What happened?" You know, so Hawaii looks even more dramatic than every episode. I keep saying it's going to be the most dramatic one. Hawaii looks insanely dramatic.
Absolutely. I can't wait to see what happens. Their mouths drop wide open when whatever Taylor says on the phone. In reaction to that, I think, you know, Brandy in her bikini, everything. I think there's definitely going to be so much to break down here. Of course, when, like the Real Housewives of New York, when they went off to Morocco, I think a trip always brings out the drama, if that's possible, even more drama. So definitely looking forward to see how this all unfolds.
I'm just trying to figure out time-wise what Taylor's bombshell could have been, and I'm thinking it might be the fact that she's telling her friends that she's filing for divorce, because there's only a couple more episodes left in the season, and I believe that filed divorce on camera. I know the suicide, they had already finished filming by then, but I'm pretty sure when she filed, they were still filming, and so I'm guessing that that's most likely announcement. What do you think?
Yeah, because I was wondering what state she could have been at, and I wasn't really too aware of the timeline of the filming versus the timeline of all of the tragedy and things like that. So I wasn't quite sure how to place the timeline here. So your guess is as good as mine, Mari. I'm going to stick with you and think that that has to be it, the divorce.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to see, and hopefully Jesse will join us for the episode as well. And Amber, some of our other favorite listeners, Erica, you guys are all welcome to join in. Hopefully Tamla Peckerman will join in as well. And everyone stay tuned for our next episode of Rogi AfterBuzz TV.
From producers Kevin Undergaro and Phil Svitek, engineer DJ Jesse Janity, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. If you have questions or comments, be sure to buzz us at info@AfterBuzzTV.com. And you can find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter by searching for AfterBuzz TV.
See you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.